Welcome, everybody, back to Fire Talk. Today, we're going to be talking about how to fix the San Diego Padres. As we know, we're recording this on Monday, first off. So right now, they're 5-7, two rough losses to the Giants. And we just had an episode about, like, hey, are the Padres just going to be a bad team? So we talked about that. We had a nice little rant, nice little frustration rant there. So what we said at the end, hey, we're going to talk about, you know, more positive note. Here's what they can do to fix these things. We'll see if they happen. Maybe we see a couple of these things done tonight. In Monday night's game against the Cubs. But first thing off, and we're not going to see this tonight, but first thing that they need to do is sign Brandon Belt. And we've been talking about this for a long time now. They have a couple guys. Like Cronenworth has played really well. Jackson Merrill's played really well. And honestly, Drickson Profar has also played pretty damn well. He's a switch hitter, but you know, from the left side of the plate, they've had a lot of success there. However, this lineup is not complete. They need another bat, and Brandon Belt is going to be huge for them. They have no types of pop. They ground out in the double plays probably more than any other team in the league at this point. And they've struggled. They hit a lot of singles. That's what they do. They hit a ton of singles. They don't have power. Now, is Brandon Belt a 40 home run type of guy? No, but he has a really high slugging because – I mean, like last year, he was a platoon guy. He basically only played against right-hand pitching, and you could do that with him for the Padres. That'd be fantastic. He had 23 doubles and 19 home runs, playing basically a little over half the time. Like he had like 350 at-bats, something like that. So that's what the Padres need. They need that really bad. And if they do that, they can spread this lineup out a lot more. So that's the first thing I have. Chase, you love the idea? You want to see them sign Brandon Belt? I know some people want to see them sign Tommy Pham really bad. I'm not against it, but I just think Brandon Belt would be a bigger need from the lineup perspective, not necessarily defensively.
Brandon Belt is way more of a need than Tommy Pham. Like, especially if you, I mean, realistically, if you platoon them, that would be amazing, but we're only going to get one of them. If that, we're not even going to get one of them. This is just us begging, saying, hey, if you guys want to get better, you guys should do this. But we have no say in what the Padres are going to do, which is unfortunate because this is what they should do. Anyway, I love the idea of signing Brandon Belt. One, he slugs. Like, sure, he may not even hit 20 home runs, but would you say how many doubles did he hit? Was it
23?
23 doubles would be amazing. I mean, just the gap-to-gap hitting would be amazing. Like, hey, we had a couple more doubles. Guess what? We'd probably have 3-4 more wins just because guys would score. But we don't even get that. Oh, my God. How many times have I preached? I'm like, I don't care how many home runs these guys hit. Can we just also hit a double for the love of God? If we can just, you know, lace out double, like three doubles in an inning, guess what? That's like two runs right there. But no, we have to home run or nothing it. The entire time, no, for the love of God. Let's see, one of our runs came off of a double yesterday, which almost was a home run. It kind of should have been a home run, but it was a double, which, hey, cool. And then did we get score Cronenworth that inning? I think we did, and I think that was off a single. But doubles are, they keep rallies going. Home runs kind of kill him because there's no one else on base. Hell, if you hit a home run with two people on base, I'd be very happy with it. But most of the time, they're solo shots because no one gets on base. And when someone gets on base, we can't do anything but ground into a double play. So, and you add Brandon Belt, it gives you a lot more lineup versatility, but it also gives you a lot of versatility on the field. Because say, like, hey, yeah, Cronenworth is hitting out of his mind right now, and sure, we want to keep him in the lineup, but guys need off days. Cool. Hey, us young Kim, you're going to take the day off. You're at Cronenworth's going to put you at short. Or hey, Belt's going to first, Cronenworth's going to short. X, you need a day off, Cronenworth's going to second. Okay, cool. Manny, you need a day off. All right, Cronenworth, go to short, Kim, go to third. And then you can keep guys in a DH role and then just kind of just rotate them off with off days and keep everybody fresh where they're not playing on the field every day, but they're getting reps every day. I mean, you have so much more versatility with Brandon Belt other than just, and he could play every day. Sure, his numbers are not going to look as great, but he could play every day, whether or not be a DH or, hey, first base. And I think what everybody's like, okay, cool. You sign Brandon Belt, you get the bat. I'm like, you also get the glove. You also get the infield versatility where everybody gets a day off, like I just said. I mean, and then, you know, you could also, and that doesn't really affect the outfield, but dude, just getting everyone a little bit of a day off, like, would be great. I know X has his wrist problem, so him not playing every day and getting a rest with his wrist and his injuries. He's 31. He's not going to get any younger. Him playing every day probably isn't going to benefit him. Him having a couple of rest days here and there is probably going to be the best thing and what we kind of need to look forward to as he gets older. Especially his wrist is going to be a reoccurring thing. And him getting rest is probably going to be the best thing. That's the reason we have him over at second right now and not short. Belt just makes it ticks every single box. He's cheap. He provides a lot of versatility. He can hit for power. He slugs. He's good at approach and he can play first. What other box do you need?
Dude, and also another thing is we don't know about Manny Machado, but Manny might not be really playing third at like at all this year. And if that's the case, then this makes even more sense. And also, you brought up like, hey, he's not really going to affect the outfield that much. But what he can do, if Manny would return to third, say Manny returns to third, right? And he's your DH a lot of the times against righties, like he's your everyday DH, or Brandon Belt is, then move him the first one day, and then you can have an outfielder like Tatis, instead of him playing the outfield for one day, he can kind of have a like partially a rest day and DH that day. And maybe someone else in the infield has a rest day, but he can do that. So you can still provide some rest days because you're swapping them out. And that's more about Machado. But I do think the other thing is like, we don't know if Machado is going to come back and play third. If he's not, okay, then there's an open infield slot. Like that's the case. Graham Pauly has struggled. And I know, Chase, you've been hyping up like, hey, we need to play the young guys. Tyler Wade has looked good. Yeah, sure. But in like 600 at bats, he's a 68 WCR plus career player. So like, I'm not expecting that to stay the same. Also, he provides no power, which is probably one of the Padres' biggest issues. I say power as slugging, not just hitting home runs. I say it is also hitting doubles. The Padres don't even hit doubles. They just have hit basically singles. So that's why I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, the second thing, we're going to go three things. The second thing they can do, this is with Brandon Belt or without Brandon Belt. And maybe they do this on Monday. They need to swap up the lineup. They need to adjust this lineup. We've seen Xander Bogaerts really struggle from the one spot. He's been bad there. We've seen Tatis play really well. We've seen Cronenworth play really well. Maybe you keep those two guys where they are 1-2. So maybe you move Tatis up to leadoff and you put Cronenworth at 2, right? Something like that. Jackson Merrill, Luis Campusano, they need to be bumped up this lineup. One, you can get more lefties up top. Let's see, let's say Jerkson Profar, like, and he's been good and whatever, but you want to get more at-bats from Merrill, you want to continue to develop him, let him see a lot of pitches, then move him up, swap him with Profar. Put Profar 8, put, you know, Merrill at 6, put Campusano from 7 to 5 with Kim, like, swap it around like that. That's still going to help. Luis Campusano is one of the best hitters on this team. I think that's become clear over the last couple years, and that's what he was projected to be. He'll look a little iffy every once in a while behind the plate. He still does. He doesn't look, he looks all right. He looks competent. Like, but he's there because his bat plays. He has a great bat. He hits a ton. I think you got to do that. Those are the two guys that have earned the spot to move up in the lineup. I only brought up Profar because he's a lefty where you're like, are trying to stagger your lefties, but he hasn't like warranted being moved down in the lineup, but it's just like, you need to adjust this lineup. Those guys need to go up. We need to figure something out with Xander Bogaerts because even though he's hitting first and it's like, oh, like he could double play a lot, the bottom of the lineup has been producing now, and then he's been hitting double plays when the bottom of the lineup is producing and has not been good in RBI opportunities over the past week or so. So that's another thing where I'm looking at it. It's like, all right, dude, the lineup needs to be adjusted somewhat. The Padres have, I think they said they have done the exact same 1-6 every single day so far, or 1-5. Let's see some adjustments, all right? Let's see some adjustments. But I don't know. What do you think, Chase? You like that idea?
So one of my main things is, what was so great? Who was the greatest leadoff hitter that you had last year? And why is he not leading off again? If it was broken, don't really fix it. Move Ha-Seong Kim back. I know he's struggling, but he obviously did a lot better in the leadoff spot than anywhere else in the lineup. One, he walked a lot more. He hit a lot more. And if he's not going to provide a lot of power, but he gets on base and hits singles, he can also steal bases, move him up to the one spot. Tatis, Cronenworth, great there. Machado, and then you probably want to go Campy, Merrill, Profar. I like X right now as the nine hitter, not because he's struggling, but hold up. I know.
I don't think you're wrong, Chase, but just think about the fact of we're in year two of the contract and you have a $25 million second base nine
hitter. Hear me out. The third base is going to be hitting eight, but kind of like what we did with Profar, he's going to be like the second leadoff hitter, which it kind of evens out your lineup. Yes, you're going to get less at-bats. Nine hitter, as we know, gets less at-bats. But less at-bats might not be a bad thing right now. But he also acts as if, like, say it starts off with the nine hitter in the inning, then you have to deal with Xander, Kim, Tatis, and potentially Cronenworth instead of, God, our worst hitter, and then the top of the lineup. It kind of makes it flow a lot better. So really, the only hole in your lineup there is the eight hitter. You have a staggered amount of lefty righties, and you have one of your best hitters at the bottom of the lineup. So like, hey, say, you know, we get through six through eight, and hey, there's a pretty good chance to score a run. At least Xander, yes, he grounds out into a lot of double plays, but hey, there's a chance he's going to do Xander things and put some runs on the board. I like it. I mean, it gives strength throughout the lineup. Or, you know, you could realistically bump Xander down to seven and move Profar to nine like we did before. But I think that's the way to go. I think that's realistically what your lineup should be.
I know that you know this, but just to reemphasize everyone, you know that will never happen. like you're aware of that. Like, there's no way
It will never happen.
Yeah, there's no way that Xander Bogaerts won't hit one through five. That's the problem. That's like actually the problem right now. I know everyone wants to be mad at Machado and everything, but like, hey, at least Machado's had a little bit of pop, right? Like, at least he's had some pop. He hasn't looked very good. He also is injured and playing through an injury, and that's a lot of the reason why that's going to be the case. But like Xander, like, I don't know, man. Maybe you're onto something, Chase. You put him in the nine spot and he gets so pissed off that you moved him to second base and moved him to the nine spot that he forces a trade, right? Best case scenario right there. So you're getting onto a whole nother way to fix the Padres right here. But no, like realistically, like you're not, that's the thing. You're not wrong. Like, that's why, I mean, I think Kim leading off, like, yeah, he, and everyone's gonna be like, dude, well, Kim sucked this year. Well, it's like, yeah, but he's also only ever really put up good numbers when he's the leadoff hitter. Like, go look at his splits from last year. When was he the best? It was far and away when he was leading off. That's when he was the hottest all season long. Then they move him later on in the season, and he struggled a lot more. So I don't know. I like the idea of Kim leading off. They definitely played with some stuff. I get why Xander does lead off. Like, it makes sense, but he's just been struggling. I don't think that's going to change as much. I do think that – but either way, though, like, the things that we could realistically see happen are Merrill getting moved up and Campy getting moved up, and those have to happen, right, dude? Like those are becoming clear things that have to happen. So that's more of what, like, I'm saying. Chase, I like your hypothetical though, man. Like, it's fun. Like, it's fun to mess around and be like, okay, what actually helps the team when you don't look at like salaries and names? That's when you just look at numbers.
It's one of those things where your spot in the lineup right now, you have a lot of good guys. It shouldn't matter where you're hitting as long as it's benefiting the team. Like, yeah, I get hitting nine sucks. And I get it's like, oh my God, you're the nine hitter on the team. You're the ninth best hitter on the team, or you're the worst hitter on the team. But it doesn't have to be like that when you play it as if, hey, we're playing to the strength of everybody. Hey, you know what? Kim is leading off right now, and he only really hits well when he's in the leadoff spot. And Xander, you kind of been struggling right now, but dude, you're a lethal nine hitter at that. Like, if you, the pitchers are coming down and they're like, okay, cool, I got 7, 8, 9, and you're down there, and then they have to face the top of the lineup, hell, you might get a lot more opportunities because they don't want to deal with the top of the lineup. Hey, they're going to come after you a little bit more. Or, hey, you know what? Dude, I just don't. It just makes more sense in my head, and I know it's never going to happen because of egos and the whole you're hitting in the bottom of the lineup. But damn, dude. Just the way that it works right now is it should be. That's how it should be. I mean, Kim only hits well in the one spot. Tatis is too good to take out of the two spot because, one, he's fast and he gets on base, but he can also hit the guy in from number one if they get on base. Cronenworth is your kind of versatility bat where he can show some pop, but he also has just been hitting like crazy. So then say, hey, Tatis hits a single, he's still second. Cronenworth singles, that brings him in. Four is Machado just because he's one of your best bats. Campusano's been your one of your best power bats and bats in general. So he's going to go five. And then you need another lefty that's been hitting a lot consistently. So you got Merrill. Then you could throw, if arguably you could throw X at the seventh spot, but he's still hitting in the bottom of the lineup. And then eight is going to be third. And then nine would be Profar, which Profar did really good in the ninth spot when he was on the Padres last time as the second leadoff. If you want to do that. But he's still out of the top five no matter what.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest problems so far. Like that was the problem last year too. So yeah, I mean, and we'll see what they do, but even if you moved him to six, five,
I think seven.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you, dude.
As of right now, seven.
I'm not disagreeing. And also, I think a lot of people are like, well, he wasn't even that bad last year. Guys, he was terrible until September. He had like a 710 OPS or like a 708 OPS going into like right before the end of the month. And then like a couple days before September started, he was like, he like had a couple good games and he was just red hot. He had like 400 like in September. So it was just like, okay, he did it all when it didn't matter anymore. Now the other thing is too, Chase, and you're the first one to agree with, I know you're gonna agree with me on this too, but it's like, it's also like playing the hot hand a little bit. Like yeah. That's also part of it. So like, oh yeah, he starts heating up. Yeah, then move him back, you know, of course, but it's also like, you have to do some of that. And maybe that means you move Machado down. That's, I'm sorry, but that's just not going to happen. Like Machado's always streaky. I feel like a lot of people are like freaking out about it. I like I said, I don't really care about Machado's stuff. But yeah. So yeah, that's lineup stuff. And then the final thing is you need to make some bullpen changes, whether that's sending some guys down, moving some guys around. If you send Kolek down, you're going to lose him because he's a Rule 5 guy. Brito, I believe Brito still has options. I'm not 100% sure on that, but he's been terrible. You have Vasquez, you have Jeremiah, Estrada, both of them in the minors, they were kind of knocking on the door to come up. Potentially you bring them up. You could trade for a guy. We talked about it last time with the Marlins. Like you go and you trade, you go get a lefty reliever, whatever it is. But they need to make some adjustments. And whether it's personnel like that, like the guys there, then it's also just becomes a, and this is what everyone was freaking out about Bob Melvin over, which is why, oh, it wasn't, you know, AJ Preller's fault last year. It was Bob Melvin's, even though that makes absolutely no sense. But they were always like, he did a really bad job managing the bullpen. Well, the bullpen sucked. That's why he did a bad job managing the bullpen. But if you're going to say that, then I really wonder what you thought about Brito coming in the eighth inning on Sunday, because if you're going to get behind that, then you're just lying to yourself. Now, that's the thing. It's like we saw Brito come in the eighth inning in a one-run game, and then they blew the game. And I didn't even think he pitched bad. Like he got a couple pop-ups, and then they had the play that kind of screwed him over. But overall, it's like, yeah, dude, it's like, that's not a good move. Sorry, but it's not. So it's either like learning how to use your personnel and learning how to use your guys. But that's the last one, because this bullpen has struggled, though it has been better. It is starting to kind of come around a little bit. You have some decent arms. I don't think it's as bad as it's been to start the year, but you can make changes that will help you win a couple games. And all this stuff, like obviously it's going to just depend on if guys perform, but there's a lot of these things where you look at the lineup and they have a couple explosion games and it's like, oh, they're hitting five with runners in scoring position. But it's like, dude, they are missing the opportunities day in and day out. And we saw that all last week. So it's going to be the same thing if they don't make some adjustments, whether that's with the lineup, adding Brandon Belt, changing up the bullpen a little bit. It's the same thing from last year. It's the same issues. So we bring these three reasons of how to fix them, but that's kind of my last one, was the bullpen chase. But what are you thinking with the bullpen? Because I know you, I know we all feel the same way. It's like, and it, I feel like most Padres fans feel the same way. It seems like it's the same thing. We're like, man, if they just did these couple things and adjusted in this way, you know, you got a guy on first and third, just get the ball in the air, please. Please get the ball in the air. Like a lot of stuff like that. So that's my last one, though, is adjust the bullpen, whether it's guys or it's just when you're using guys.
Yeah, it is that. I think, you know, I've always been saying it, like, Kolek has been really good the past three outings. He struggled really hard one. And I know I like him. I'm starting to like him a little bit more. His stuff is playing really well. He has a really good slider. His fastball's playing. He did get out of his little jam Sunday against the Giants. I see why the Padres want to keep him up as a Rule 5 guy. And given his age, you don't really want to lose him just in case. Like, he does turn out to be a really good reliever. But Brito could do some work. He didn't have the worst outing. It was the one little play that really kind of ruined that inning. But he is the one struggling the most out of everybody in the bullpen. Have him go down, get some more reps in some lower pressure situations, let him fix his stuff, give him a couple things to work on, and either bring up Vasquez and Jeremiah just to see what they have. Jeremiah had an immaculate spring. He had one of the best spring trainings out of everybody, and he didn't get promoted for it. I'm like, the guy did good, and then he did good against the Dodgers, and then you sent him down. So if a guy's struggling, bring another guy up. Don't – I know people only have a certain amount of options, but, dude, we can't just let a guy continue to try to figure it out. I mean, I'm usually for it, but if you have a guy that's performing, reward him for that. So bring up Jeremiah, bring up Vasquez, and, like, see what these guys have. Brito obviously doesn't have it right now. He's been pitching better, but he still has gotten rocked in most of his outings. So let's bring up another guy and see what they got. So, yeah, absolutely. And if you want to trade for a guy, trade for a guy. But don't trade for an all-star reliever and give up a lot of guys. Let's make it solid. Like, hey, you know what? This guy has, like, a 3 ERA. And he's good in late innings. Perfect. Let's trade for him. Now let's trade for Josh Hader. Let's not do something like that again. My last thing is, you're going to trade for somebody. The A's are an open market. They're obviously tanking. Hell, you want to trade for Esteri Ruiz back because he got busted for the last dive bracelet after having the opening series that he did and he needs to go work on things? Let's go snag him back. Obviously, the A's ownership GM situation is not the greatest. It's a crap show over there. Take advantage of it. Go get some good players for cheap because they're obviously tanking so that they can move.
Yeah, 100%. There's always, and also the Marlins. The Marlins they're off to a rough start, all right? We talk about the Padres starting rough. The Marlins are in a whole different boat. Dude, they made the playoffs last year, too. That's a team that made, I mean, okay, actually it's not the team. It's a completely different team. They have no pitching anymore. Everyone's injured. So yeah, they made the playoffs last year. They're like out of it already. Like they're done. So yeah, I mean, that's where it's at, dude. It's early on. And it's already like, oh God. But yeah, I think you do a few of those things and I do think it helps. This is going to be a team that is going to have to like scrape its way into the playoffs if that's the case. It's not looking like it right now, so they need to make some adjustments this early on, and if they don't do that stuff, because I that's a problem. I don't think they are. If they do these three things, I'd feel a lot better about this team. Would I feel the best? No, but I'd feel better about them. But we'll see what happens. Also, if you want to rip Chase for San Xander at 9, go for it. I think it's funny, but bring I get what you're coming for.
Bring it. You guys know I'm right. Bring it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's going to do it for today, though. We'll probably have some other stuff out later this week. Not sure what we're going to do. But, yeah, that's it for today. Thank you all for listening. And hopefully the Padres start bouncing back, have a big week, because now the matchups are starting to come in, the heavy hitters. You got the Cubs, who are a pretty good team. You got the Dodgers right after that. So we'll see what happens. But thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you later. See you.